Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the oven of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafer, keep this word as it purifies you in this journey of destiny.
Father, this morning I will give you glory, for unto you shall the gathering of the people be, and we'll bless you this morning, and we ask that, Lord, you will satisfy us with your presence, and you will feed us with the true bread, the bread that comes from you, in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. As you take your seats, amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be alive this morning? Hallelujah. Now we start a journey this morning on what I have titled the outpouring. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you see someone that has truly met with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can do to convince him otherwise. When you have an experience with God, just bring it down a bit. When you have an experience with God, there's something that changes from within you. If you meet someone who has had a similar experience, sometimes you could be seeing the person for the first time, but you just connect. You just connect, and I don't know what's failed me to describe what I am seeing in my mind, but I will try. In my own experience, I have seen someone move from completely being empty, ordinary, helpless, powerless, and after a major encounter with the Holy Spirit, something changed. It's as if a switch was turned on and something happened, you know. Many years ago, a pastor was at a particular church in around Acme, you know, somewhere in Ikeja. And it's a white guy, you know, he was invited to preach at that church. So while he was preaching, he began to prophesy. And he said to the pastor, "There is a woman in this church that wants to give you a brand new car." This is a white man. He's never been to Nigeria. He said, "The woman already has the car with her." He said, in fact, he began to read out the registration number on the car. "This is the type of SUV. This is the color. This registration number." And then while he was speaking, he was walking towards the woman. Wow. "Say, madam." This is the woman screamed. And the pastor was shocked. They were shocked because they know, I mean, we brought this man straight from the airport. There's no way he would have known such it, you know. There was a particular brother in that church. He's been struggling with his, you know, spiritual life. He is cold, dead spiritually. So his friend forced him to come to church that we're having a guest speaker. So maybe he has been to that church before and he didn't enjoy the service. So, but now that there's a white man coming, he decided to try again. And he just sat there at the corner. Come on, say corner. So he just sat there and go like, "What? What?" How I wish I can know God like this. That was all he said. That was all he said. That was all he said. He was saying it in his mind. That white preacher just turned and said, the young man over there. He said, you want what I have? He said, take it. The brother collapsed. He collapsed. He fell under the anointing. It was his friend who brought him to church that was telling my brother this story. He said, after that day, he said, nobody could match his prayer power. That boy, that young man, said, from that, all of them who have been serving God before him, said, from that day, the guy will pray in the morning, he will pray in the afternoon, pray in the night, pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, he will fast, he will pray, he will eat, he will pray while eating, eat. Ah, like they couldn't match him. Say something changed. It's like a switch. And everybody has that switch. Everybody has it. And today we are going to turn it on. Amen. Amen. We are going to turn it on. We are going to be, you won't have to fake it to become your nature. Glory be to God. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel.
Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Say only you.
Took a vial of oil and he poured it over his head and he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shall thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men, going up to God in Bethel. One carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands, and that thou shalt come to the hill of God. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, which is in the garrison of the Philistine. Now, I want you to note that line. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and you shall be turned into another man. Hallelujah. Now, this was a brother that was looking for missing asses. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't searching for anything. But I hope you know that it is possible for God to have an appointment with you, even if you are not aware. Yeah. The whole idea of the sheep, the missing asses, was to beckon to him. How many of you began to see God intensely after you had a major problem? You didn't pray before then, but after the devil came knocking, and you said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and the devil kept coming. And then you pleaded the blood of Jesus, and he kept coming. Then you now added fasting and started praying. Started praying. You know, some of you fault our folks at the CAC that they always repeat what they say. You know, in those days, some of you don't know how CAC people pray. But I'll give you an example. Now, if you don't understand Yoruba, I can't help you here, but I'll give you an idea. So, if a CAC brother was praying, or a woman, and after they've prayed for some time, now they begin to say, God, hear us. Father, hear us. Father, hear us. Huh? So they'll say it in Yoruba. Oluwagbo. 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 They could be like that for 1 hour. It is not so... You see, now there's a difference between vain prayer and repetitive prayer. Are you with me now? I said there is a difference between vain prayer. Jesus cautioned us about vain praying, not repetitive praying. Vain praying is that you are speaking careless words. For instance, if you know that the Lord has said you cannot marry Tunde, you now come before him with fasting. Yekata, Lord, there's nothing you cannot do. This is my month of settlement. But why you are saying that, you have Tunde on your mind, is vain praying. But standing before God to say, Lord, do it. That's not vain praying. That's repetition. And repetitive prayer is a type of prayer. It's an emphasis. So I don't want you to look down somebody who is praying that way and think that you are better than them. Because even for many of you who speak in tongues, it's also repetitive. And many of you who say you speak in tongues, your mind is not there. And you hid under the scripture which stated that if the mind is unfruitful when you pray in tongues. But I hope you know that there is no one that knows the mind of the Spirit except the Spirit of God. Which means if I am praying in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God needs to be working with me to bring to my mind what the Holy Ghost is thinking. So if you say you prayed in tongues, what did the Holy Spirit put in your mind? Peradventure, you are just speaking gibberish. Brother Saul wasn't looking for a kingdom. He was searching for his machinery, his business. It's just like somebody who has a farm and they stole his tractor. So he was trying to trace the tractor. But the thing is not missing. What you are looking for is not missing. It's in God. I say what you are looking for is not missing. It's inside of God. And as long as you keep pursuing God, you will find it. Somebody said, I don't know why before now I used to see a lot of visions. I said, you stopped seeing vision the day you stopped looking at it. Because one of the ways you will know that the Lord is close to you is that he will continue, the Lord will bring you clarity that is with you by continually speaking to you. God will not hold his voice from somebody that is close to him. He will give you promptings. He will give you nudgings. He will give you dreams. Sometimes it's just an awareness that, my daughter, I am here. He will give it to you. And if you think that is cheap, go and look for people who are losing their mind because they can't find his presence anymore. And if your pastor, God so help him, is a man who has no presence, then you will just come one day and notice for 1 year. We are talking about to make money. Many people that you look at, and this is a rebuke to us as a church, both as ministers and those of us who sit on the other side. If you become so comfortable and you make an eternal decision, for instance, on where you choose to worship because of carnal things, alright, carnal things, your journey will be very long. Because the goal of the church is to present Christ to you, is to cause Christ to be formed in you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you find that when a man has met God, he cannot backslide. That is the idea of once saved, forever saved. Not that you can do what you like. A man who has truly met the Holy Spirit, if he wakes up today and cannot find it, he will want to die. He will want to die because he knows that the confidence to move forward is not there, except he knows God is standing there with him. This must be a desire
This must be a yearning. Whether you are a market woman or you are a banker. Huh? Because some of the excuses we have, Satan is laughing. Satan sat down with God and they started laughing at you. Because your excuse sounds so stupid. It doesn't make sense, even to the devil. That you would say that because you work in Chevron, you cannot see God. Do you not... Do you know that Satan, as busy as he is, he still goes to the court of heaven? He needs to know what they are planning. God, as busy as he is, he's still mindful of you. God will never see you and refer to you as Kemi. He knows you. It's not because you are the only Yvonne, but your own Yvonne is special. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, Yvonne, what's your son? Hey, not our God. Your excuses, the ones you made for yourself, you know, because you make excuses, you have to make it. Eh? You have to make it. You have to go to the kitchen and make it like ever. Like Gary, you have to make it. So it's your own, it's not mine. We may be in the same house, but you are making excuses while I am making results. You understand? So I'm telling you that the day you unmake your excuses, you will find God. Yeah. And it is God's desire. Jesus said to us, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But it starts with a knowledge. And it starts with a desire. This guy, for instance, I want to x-ray how the Holy Ghost came upon him. Now, I want you to know that before this day, this guy had never heard the voice of God. He had never seen a vision. He had never had any major encounter with a prophet. In fact, when he was beckoned on to come visit a prophet, he declined. No, I don't want to go to those pastors. I know they go past, they go see vision from. A brother was taken to see a pastor somewhere. He had a lot of problems, you know. So when he got to the pastor, he expected the pastor to like see visions and all of that. The pastor started asking him about his spiritual life. Are you living a holy life? How do you study the word? Let me guide you on how to be. Do you pay your tithe? Do you do this? Do you do what? You know, so the guy was disappointed. By the time he left the pastor's office, by the time he came out, his friend was like, how did he go? He said, that man is a pastor. I need a prophet. My situation, I need someone that can, the God of now, the one that can do it now. Sharp, talk and do. Have you seen that water, talk and do? There's one water that is, have you seen it? Have you seen, even if it's online, have you seen some of those special waters that they sell? If you have it in your house, go and throw it away. I'm not joking, those are occult waters. So, forget about the branding. Huh? Anything outside the anointing oil, some of these things are just not, but you won't know. Meanwhile, you are paying $250,000. There's one man in Delta State now, he's selling a rainbow. You know, those Christmas lights that have colors. He said, God said this is bringing like rainbow deliverance. And so it's December sales. You understand? But you will never know. Because your faith is attached to things. So if that is the kind of God you met, this one I'm talking about will never be enough for you. So this brother, when he came to Samuel, Samuel sat him down, fed him, and I'm intrigued by Samuel's anointing. Samuel was not under pressure. He said, let's eat. Took him out. Like, let's go to Yellow Chili. They ate. They said, let's go back home. Introduce him, this is my friend, this is my neighbor. Like, oh God, we are looking for donkeys. Can you just tell me, you want to confirm if she's your wife? She's already at the airport. If she's my wife, I need to go stop her now so she doesn't. The prophet said, no, you will see a principle there. The prophet knew what the man was looking for. Eh? But he said, let's eat. Oh yeah, let's go out. Let's go and see, check my goats. I have a head of goats. Let's check them. One of them just gave birth. Let's go. Then while we are there, the phone rang. Reverend Samuel, Ah, crusade? Prayer meeting? Eh? Oh, yeah, I'm coming with somebody. Let's go and pray. Baba. Say something. I want to go. When it was time, say, tell your servant, the one that told them to come, say, tell him to go forward. You see, there are conversations God wants to have with just you. Huh? Just you. Because they are yours.
Yes.
They are your encounters.
Yes.
Anytime you remember those moments, something happens to you on the inside. Then he began to prophesy to Saul. He began to prophesy. Then when they got to a point, oh yeah, kneel down. Say, don't worry about your missing donkeys. We found them. Brought out oil. And pay attention to the words. Is it not because the Lord has anointed you, has chosen you, has separated you to be the king over his own inheritance? That was what he said to him. Alright? Now, please, put up the next verse of that scripture. Is it verse 2 or 3 now? Very quickly, maybe I should read it. Now, look at this. He said, when thou art departed from me today, you shall... Now, can you see such detail? Some of you that are making us, we are not in the Old Testament. Huh? We are better than Elijah. We have the Holy Spirit. Can you prophesy like this? Eh? When your wife asks you or your husband asks you, what do you think God is saying? Can you tell him that by this time tomorrow you will have a new contract? That there's a white man that is going to call you. His name is Frank. But you need to be at the bus stop tomorrow at 7 a.m. And you meet him. He will ask you, are you the one? He will give you detail. Why is it that we only find this in the Old Testament? Say, well, we are New Testament Christians. You better keep quiet. Go and pass primary 1 before going to primary 2. That old is old for a reason. The new, any new update is supposed to be an enhancement, not a degradation, not a depreciation. So the New Testament has this and more. Are you with me now? You must, when the presence of God is in your life, please put up that scripture. There will be certain signs in your life that will separate you from ordinary men. He said, you shall find two men by Rachel's sepulcher. Who is Rachel? The mother of? See, they are taking him back to the place of inheritance. Alright? They are taking him back, but that's for another day. He said, and they will say unto you. Now, imagine that this is a prophetic instruction that you will meet with someone at a particular bus stop and you didn't show up there. If he had gone to some other place, will he, please put up that scripture, will he meet the people that the prophet spoke about? If you want to walk with God, you must learn to be a bit slow. Because the scripture says, those who make haste will sin. And those who believe, do not make haste. Look at that scripture. He said, you will find two men by Rachel Sepka and the brother of Benjamin at Zelza, and they will say unto you that the asses which thou went out to seek for have been found. And now your father is searching for you, he's not looking for those asses anymore. Next verse. Then you shall go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and thou shalt meet three men going up to God. Where are they going up to? They are traveling into God. There are times in your life you will meet with people that you will know in your heart. This man has a journey with God. He's on the journey. When you meet those people, you can't crash into their schedule. Their day is planned before you woke up. You will keep calling them, they will never pick. You see a man whose journey, you know, the guys were going on a mountain, you know, but look at the phrase that was used. He said they were going up to God. They were going up to, you will meet three women, you will meet three men, you will meet three young boys. You sometimes God brings certain people into your life, and when you look at them, it's as if these people are taking a journey that is different from every other person. They are journeying into God. They are walking into God. You can't distract them. You see, the level of your accuracy in the spirit depends on the type of journey you are taking. It depends on there are a lot of people who are taking God said, go to Nineveh. They are on their way to Tarshish, and they are coming and complaining that God is not speaking. The voice of God is not in Tarshish. Peradventure you are lucky. The only thing you will find in Tarshish is mercy. Peradventure you are lucky. You will find mercy, but not the voice of God. He said they are going up to God, to Bethel. What does Bethel stand for? The Bethel means the house of God. The house of God. The house of God. Have you read in the scripture where it is said that if two or three of you shall agree as touching any matter, it shall be done unto you? We come at some point and we will revisit the subject of the prayer of agreement again. And then we will look at some of the rules. And you will now know why you said you are praying with somebody, your prayer partner, and you are not seeing results. I will show you why. There was a brother who went on a mountain somewhere around to pray with his friend. And their plan was to pray till God spoke to them. And both of them, I mean, were ministers. They got on the altar and said, okay, you let me go to this side of the mountain, and you go to this side. Let's pray our personal prayers first, then we'll come back and pray together. That was the agreement. And while this brother was here praying, the Lord said, stop praying. Stop praying. Go and meet your friend. Go and listen to what he said. Tiptoe, tiptoe. Say, Shakara, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oga, stop praying. Go and listen to what your friend is saying. No, now. In Canada, we respect people's privacy. I say, stop praying. The boy went to the other side of the mountain and heard his friend praying loudly. Lord, bring him down. Lord, destroy him. Bring that church down. Let his members come to me. He was praying. He didn't know the boy was standing there. God now said, go back and start praying. Now, if you are the one, your business partner, you found the way he was praying and fasting with red candles. Big red candles. Saying, bring him down. He will not survive tomorrow. And you are feeling sleepy, like, I need to go home and rest. But you stumbled into that. No, sorry, that sleep. That sleep, that you wanted to sleep. You know, you are so tired. Oh my God. You said? The sleep will become rest in peace. You will just know that. And I think I need to just pray. You will get on your wife, you sit and say, hey, baby, I say, hey, wait. I can see red candles everywhere. You lock your door. Tell your people, nobody should knock this door till I come back. You start firing back. There is a place in the spiritual realm that is called the Bethel, the house of God. This is where God dwells. And there was a man who was first, ushered into this place. His name was Jacob. He was running away from his brother after stealing his inheritance, and then he slept at a place called Luz, L-U-Z, Luz. You know, and he had been losing all his life, but he slept at a place called Luz. It was after God visited him there that the name changed to Bethel, which means the house of God. It's just like saying Loretta's house, Yvonne's house. That means anytime you touch this place in the spiritual realm, you will meet with God. You will have encounters. Most of those times you prayed alone and something happened, it was because you actually journeyed long enough till you got to that place. You didn't know, except that you now saw angels descending and ascending. That's how to pray. Pray till you touch that place. Put up that scripture. One was carrying three kids, another was bearing three loaves of bread, and another was carrying, but now stop here. Look at the items that they were holding. A kid there signifies a baby goat or sheep, you know. Except you receive the kingdom as a little child. Huh? You cannot be referred to as great. It is very important to know and to note that the only basis for which God will continue to carry you is when you are a child in His hands. The day you become wiser than your creator, He will allow you walk. Then you start struggling. You will now find people that you knew that were in no way as good as you are, being ushered into the next level at the office, you know, and in other areas of life. And you say, but you stepped out of His hands 5 years ago when you decided to do your own thing. And everybody, almost everybody here is guilty of that one. The scripture says they were bearing three loaves, or three kids, signifying the state of heart that was like that of a child. When you come to God, don't talk to Him like a lion. Don't storm His gates as if you want to break it. You can't break my door down and expect me to attend to you. I will focus on my door. You must come as a little child. While the disciples were busy arguing, who among us is the greatest? Jesus just brought a little child and said, stand in our middle. Do you know that whoever stands in the middle is the most important person? Say, you see this child. They did not even ask for it. The Bible did not tell us His name. That is how much God defines greatness. Your name will not be known. You still want to be great, have you? Every time you come before God, you will say, not my will, but yours, O Lord. Not my will, but yours, O Lord. Because every day you are faced with choices that you will have to choose your will. Somebody comes before me and says, and I say, what do you want? You say, Pastor, just pray for me. I say, what do you need? You say, just pray anything. I say, I'm sorry. I don't pray anything. I don't pray anyhow. If you don't have a prayer request, the Lord bless you. You can be on your way. That's 2024 standard answer. Then next year, I will square. I will add a square to that answer. You might say, just pray. Just pray. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the meaning of that. If you have a, don't stress me. You know, you have been stressing everybody around you. Don't bring me into that. If you have a specific prayer request, just tell me. So what they are doing is that they want you to pray and then tell them what God is saying. Unfortunately, I'm not like that. In fact, there are people that while I was praying for them, God spoke to me. See, today I've not told them. See, today. Say, Pastor, it's like that day I suspect. I said, there's nothing. They are not, because I know them, they are not ready. If I tell you that leave the harlot you are staying with alone, they cannot take it. Because that harlot is their helper. So, let me just be looking at you. It's Bible study you need. Look at the second item there. The Bible speaks of bread. Bread there speaks of the word of God. This is how they approached God. You want to journey into the place that is referred to as Bethel. These are the three items that you must have. Number one, you must have the heart of a child. Humble. You must be meek of heart. Huh? Do you know what it means to be meek? It's very similar to humility. But it also has other things. To be meek is to be like... To be meek... Help me assist her. Huh? To be meek is to be... To have all the qualities of humility... But there is one other ingredient. It's called power. Yeah. You know, everywhere someone was referred to as meek, they were usually people with immense power. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man. Yet the prayer of Moses could part the sea, could open the ground, could destroy or make alive. And yet Moses would choose to... People, I mean, if you've ever been in the company of a man who stretched his rod... And the sea parted. I didn't say a pond. I didn't say a pond. I didn't say that small gutter near your house where you people are trying to navigate. I said a sea. an ocean, Atlantic Ocean. Just imagine, half of the Atlantic Ocean. And one man didn't speak. He just stretched his hand. And the thing split in equal half. And then some of you gathered and say, we want to address some things we don't like. See, you are the one who told us that we must not marry outside our nation. We must marry among ourselves. Say yes. Say, but you married a black woman. I hope you know Moses Christ was a black woman. Correct black woman.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I also hope you know Jesus was not white. Go and throw away that calendar in your house. When they give you calendar, they say burn it. Use it to wrap your notebook. Jesus was not a white man. Go and look at the way Israelis look like and look at Europeans. You will know the difference. But because you are black, you think anything outside black is white. It's not. So I'm here to help you. They said, man of God, we think you should step down. There are some things we observe. Your children are not like us. They are not as white as us. Your wife keeps throwing her weight around. And she's not even Jewish. She's black. And you are the one who said, excuse me, was Moses guilty?
Yeah.
When God came, did he talk about Moses?
No.
God told him, say, stand aside, let me bury them. God said, I like you. You are very humble. Eh? Don't say anything. Let me. God was bored in heaven. And he was looking for fight. God came down. So who are those people who said, I want you to see the nature of God when it comes to defending his children. That sometimes you may be wrong and God will not even discuss it. He will fight those people. When I was working in the bank, somebody makes a terrible mistake. He does a transfer of 20 million. Credits another account. The account is on what we call PND. When the account is on PND, you can't reverse that money back because the account is frozen or it's restricted. The customer who has the account the money went into needs to come to the bank and reactivate the account, and they lift the restriction. And God help you that the reason the account was restricted is not because of criminal reasons. If not, that money will be there forever. Now the owner of the real money comes to the bank the next day and says, where is the money? Now your staff has done something wrong, right? The staff is insisting. The customer is, I want to know who processed my transaction. I want to know who that idiot is. I want to start shouting, early in the morning. What does the manager do? He shields the staff and says, sir, please come to my office. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
He brings to your office, sir, I'm so sorry. We're going to reverse the funds today. He has not reversed it though. He doesn't even know if it will be possible. But the first thing he does is to protect that staff, even though that staff has sinned. That is the character of God. The same way when your child does something out there and you are very angry and they come home to report him, you will not throw your child into the hands of lions and say, hit my child. Your child may be wrong, but it's your child. So you first protect the child. This is the nature and character of God, for which many people do not know that God is not fair. God is not a fair God. He's a just God. And that means something very significant. In the case of Moses, he actually committed the crime he was being accused of. But you see, Moses was also the leader and the pastor of these people. These people had never come to Moses to say, we just want to thank you for all you are doing. You can't sell for money tonight. In fact, there was a day Moses' father-in-law got so angry. He said, no more counseling in this house. You people should leave your counseling in the church. Kilo day. There was a day I got back from church here. It was on Sunday, and I met people waiting in the house. I say, first time. The next time it was going to happen, I just get like, how are you doing? You're welcome. I entered the room, I went to sleep. I didn't come out till I think I woke up very late in the middle of the night. They've gone. The war did not end. Somebody was living with me. Some people were calling that person and saying, "Is he back? Is he back?" It was the person to discuss with my wife. Say, "It's not back. I will radio you. Radio one, radio one." Subject inactive, subject inactive. Now, maybe that too. Subject unavailable. When I came in, it's as if the phone just rang. "Pastor, are you around? I want to come see you." "How did you know?" My wife was very upset. My wife said, "He just collected his phone. He just came in, but he's tired." I said, "That you." Some people get my mail. I was like, okay, let's just. My wife said, "No. That's how God saved me." These people had never at one time come to appreciate their prophet. But when the prophet did something wrong, that's what, you know, they were willing to throw him under the bus. Meanwhile, if an opposition rises in that desert, they didn't have a solution. So God came down. There is something about being meek. Huh? That you have the power to destroy, but you refrain. You see, when you know your weakness, one of the ways to counter your weakness is to make a covenant with God. Let me explain. When I was growing up, I used to be a very short-tempered person. I think I still am to some degree anyway. Short-tempered person. So, in fact, it was so bad then, once I lose my fuse, I have to break something. Once I break, then my mind, you know, now comes back to default mode. So I used to be like that. Somebody came here, I was praying, "God, give me a husband like Pastor Winger. God, give me a husband like Pastor." In this church, God, if I get it. My wife just looked at the person. My wife shook her head. Say, "May God not answer that your prayer. Because if you want to marry..." And I said, "What do you mean? Why are you trying to discourage her?" "Let God answer her now. Maybe she wants to marry someone like me." The best part of me is the one on this roof, you know. Busayo, you were staying in my place before. When you if Busayo wants to see me, Pastor David will say, no, go and see him at home. See, Pastor does not talk to us at home. Hey, all of you that live in Pastor's house, Pastor, we can't say, let us see him here. Because here, he will talk to you. Once you enter, hello, can I have my food, please? Being meek is that you have the power to destroy, and yet you refrain. There are people I have prophesied to. I mean, I have to make a covenant with God that if I have ever with my mouth, my lips, blessed someone, no matter what you do, I will never curse you. Because I know where Satan will wait for me. That when you provoke me, I will just lash out. And if I lash out in the anointing, so you may be in big trouble. So I had to covenant myself that if at any time I have prayed with you or blessed you, there is nothing you do that will make me curse you. That was how I protected myself. Because I know what Satan wants the shepherd to kill the sheep. And I refuse to be a victim. And I've been in churches where the sheep was sacrificed for the pastor. So I decided, I don't want to be like this. It takes a lot of meekness to be in a position of authority and people are throwing rubbish, throwing dirt at you, and you refrain. But it is a requirement for going into the presence of God. So you need the bread. You need the word of God. You need the word of God in a specific way. There are people that I do not listen to. Because when I listen to them, they fuel my carnality. When I listen to them, they make me begin to yearn after the things that my destiny does not require. The Lord said to me many years ago, He said, "If you seek my presence,
and seek to know me only, you will not have many prayer requests. That's what the Lord said. And I said this thing on Friday, for those of you who are like, you know, and you may want to try it. You may want to try it. It's not that you don't have prayer requests, though. We have very few. So you need the word of God in a specific way. Now, if I were to ask you, what really would you describe as your greatest desire as a Christian? What will you describe as what you would really want God to do for you the most? If that thing is out, if the answer to that question is anything outside what God would have wanted, your journey has not started. So what is it that the Lord will want of us? Number one, the Lord will want us to be fully formed in the image of Christ, such that anywhere we go and wherever we turn, we are able to demonstrate the love of God, the character of God, the mercy of God, and people know that this is a child of God that is standing here. That is God's desire. Any other thing, including money, will come under that. Please put up that scripture. There's a third item there. The speaks about the bottle of wine, which speaks about the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, do not be drunk in wine, but be filled. So there was a comparison between the Holy Spirit and wine. I was in a particular church and they were singing a song. I think maybe Fola came, okay, she said she would have known that song. I mean, I was coming in to preach in the song, and that was, you know, if you want to gyrate in the Holy Ghost. Don't be gyrating like as if the way those people in the club are doing. I got into the church, I was wearing my agbada. I wanted to preach in that church. And I was hearing, give me one, give me bread, give me one, I'll be forever satisfied. I knew the scripture they were picking from. Omo, see the way people were gyrating. I said, this is the song of the Spirit. That one, you cannot say you will not dance. I was against it. I started dancing from the entrance. That yes, somebody, whoever brought this song out, God bless you. When I got up to preach, I first prayed for that person. No. The moment I came in, there are some songs that are just different. Say, give me bread and give me wine and I'll be forever satisfied. Give me your word, give me your spirit and I'll be satisfied. That's what the person was singing. He's not talking about you drinking shekpe. I remember my first experience with the Lord was when I became a Christian, as in the first day I became a Christian. You know, I got born again in a prayer meeting. So, when going to church did not work, I decided to go to God in a prayer meeting and it worked. But I remember in that meeting, because I was struggling with my faith, and I think I'm going to share my testimony on YouTube very soon. I'll just put a camera and talk about my testimony, because please let me ask your neighbor, do you remember how you met with the Lord? Do you remember how you met with the Lord? Now some people don't even have that record anywhere. It's deleted from the hard drive. Like one of my mommies, when you ask her, in those days when we were younger, they'll give us form to fill when we come for full gospel businessmen meeting or some of these fellowships, they'll say, are you born again? We'll say, yes. Say, what date? Blank. Share your testimony. Say, share a short testimony of how you gave life to Christ. This my mom will write a long time ago. I say, Mama, you are not born again. Mama, let's just talk about it. You are not there. If Jesus meets with you can't forget. Yeah. Huh? My president, President Tinubu, if he comes here now, we won't forget in a while. Especially if he gives a big offering. We won't forget, like, no. I'll even take a picture, put it, even though I don't like him, but I'll still put the picture in my office. So before you think I don't know some, I know people. See, he came here. But Bele, he came here. I didn't invite him, he just came. So he wanted to meet with me. I'll be throwing it around. Don't look down on me. But if truly you met the Lord, it will be more than that. So how come you forgot? How come you don't remember? Is it possible that you never really met with him? Or you met with him through someone else? Or by proxy? I remember there was a time, I just finished secondary school. So I was not doing anything at all. I spent that time praying. We didn't have light in the house. The well water was the only water we had access to in the compound. And that's how I was living my life. My mom was teaching. So anytime she goes to work, there's nothing. We only had one small transistor radio that you have to insert two small batteries. So once you insert it and the battery starts going, you leave it, start praying. And I remember that morning, I prayed. There was nobody to distract me. Prayed. I know what the devil is saying. Oga, you should go out and learn a skill. Do something with your life. I kept praying. Do you know what I was praying about, sir? Moses said to the Lord, I have been following you, but I have not seen you. I have not met you. If they ask me right now, what is the evidence that I know you? I have nothing to show them. Lord, reveal yourself to me. That was my prayer. Actually, that's the oldest prayer I've been praying since I became a Christian. Okay, now, Lord, reveal yourself to me. And I prayed. I prayed till I got to a point. Electricity started flowing, like literally, in under my skin. Voltage, high voltage. And I couldn't move. I just laid on the floor. I just... Now, I cannot describe it to you, but I've never forgotten that day. Because after that day, I noticed, it seems like anytime somebody shows interest in knowing God, God leaves a sign on their lives. You are not praying for power per se, but every time God visits you, because of the yearning of your heart, something changes. Shortly after that, my sister had to go to the dentist. They pulled out a tooth. So I got back home, same period, and I saw her alone in the house in a lot of pain. In a lot of pain. I didn't even know that what the Lord did when he touched me that day was still in my body. I didn't know. I forgot about it. It was just like a day apart. And I said, what's going on? And I just said to her, what's this? I'm in pain. Slept off. She had been in pain. She couldn't sleep overnight. When I came in and I was like, and I held her, I'm in pain. Started snoring. Just a touch. Immediately I remembered the encounter I had the day before. I said, so this thing can stay in my hands. Quietly. And when somebody needs it, it will flow. See, let me tell you. The beauty of having an encounter with God is that you start like an ordinary man. But the more you journey with him, you are being changed from glory to glory. Not just anointing. Glory to glory. Which means if you radiated as like the stars last month, but you kept on journeying with him, by the time they see you in the realm of the spirit this month, you will radiate your current glory, which will be like the moon. And you keep walking and keep walking, and all your desire, I want to know your heart, I want to know your ways. That is all you are doing. You have problems, so you have things surrounding you that you are confused about, but you just have, this is my desire to honor you. You just have this one singular thing. By the next 3 months, when they see you, because you are now closer in terms of distance, you are now radiating like the sun. There is no glory of yesterday that should surpass the glory of today. That is your calling. That is what God wants you to walk in. Which means if it took me 3 hours to pray through a particular problem 3 months ago, this
3 months after, it should not take me more than 1 hour, 30 minutes. Because the weight of glory, the capacity I have, I can speak to that problem. And it will be resolved. You know, when I was working in the bank, as a supervisor, you have authorizer profile, status, you know, on the system. There are things that your junior subordinate staff, your team members, they will not be, if they try to run a query, maybe about a customer's detail, it will tell them you do not have the right. It could pop up on the screen. Alright? There was a time that they even restricted every bank staff from viewing customers' balances. But if you are a supervisor, you have access to it. There are things that, see, instead of praying and trying to get more power, which is okay, why not have just one desire? Because every time God responds to your desire, He feels it. And because your desire is His own desire for you, He fills you to the overflowing. In John chapter 7, okay, before we go there, go back to the next verse. Jump to the next verse. Now, He said that when, Samuel said, when they see you, they are going to say hello to you, and they will give you the 2 loaves of bread, which is in their hands. Next verse. Now, out of the 3 items, they gave him just 1. And I'm wondering, why not the 3? Are you with me? They gave him what? Just the loaves of bread. They didn't give him the wine. For the same reason, nobody can share their oil with you. If you find yourself to be a foolish virgin, nobody can share their oil with you. You may bask in the light while you hang around them. I hope you know those 5 foolish virgins, they benefited from the fire that was burning from the lantern of those other 5 virgins. But it was not theirs. There are some people who are living under the covering and the grace and the anointing of people around them who are on fire for God. There are people who are here and they are living under the grace of God that their mother, who is always praying for them, is providing. But if those people step away into the dark, if those people step into the dark, they will be helpless. I have very personal stories that I can make reference to, but they are too personal. Maybe, I'm not sure I'm ready to share them. Of how people came out of the covering that God provided for them. It didn't take 1-2 months. They were through, like, they lost everything. If you are not sure that you have walked with God to a point where Jesus can now say to you, let your light so shine that men can see your good works, and Jesus is not afraid that men will put out that light, then don't stay far away from those whose fire can help your journey. There was something that was given to this guy. It was bread. What is bread? The revelation of the word of God. They put a Bible in his hands. That's the only thing they can give you. You see, about the wine, you will have to labor for it in the place of prayer. You will have to labor for it in the place of waiting upon the Lord. You will have to spend time with him and spend time with him and spend time with him till he gives you the wine. You see, about the heart of a child, you will have to stay with him and use the word of God that is in your hands to see how God expects the state of your heart to be. You will have to use this word of God to generate the other 2 items. There is no gift of humility. There is no gift of meekness. You will have to look inside the world of liberty and then take a decision that this is how I want to live. Look, let me tell you, there's nobody that cannot be brutal with words. There's nobody that cannot talk you down and finish you and tell you the story of your life from A to Z. When I was living in Ibadan, I was at the park and I was trying to take a bus to Lagos, and a quarrel ensued between the driver and some other guy at the park. And the driver looked at the man and said, "Oh, Rory, look at his head. It looks like a goat." Now, if you know anything about Ibadan people, now what I'm saying now, you can confirm. If an Ibadan man uses an item to describe you, you will start looking like that. I'm telling you. Please, don't take my word for it. Go and ask. They have a way of just, they will know what you look like. Oh, Rory, I be kidney come, but you will just begin to look like that. You know, when the man said, you know me, it was the first bus leaving Ibadan. So I sat down quietly in that darkness. But when the man now said, "Look at his head," I had to turn that. Who is he talking about? To God who made me, the man looked exactly. The man looked exactly like the way the driver was describing. You have to labor for the wine. God will not give something to a man who is not yearning for it. Or at least, if God cannot determine that this one will yearn for it, you may pray, he will give you money. You may pray, he will give you houses. But what has the capacity to sustain everything he has put around you will not be given to you. Now, the moment this brother got the bread, he came to the hill of God, which is in the garrison of what? The Philistines. Now, the hill of God, Bethel, within the camp of the enemy. The place of divine encounter within the perimeter of warfare. For those of you that want to encounter God without warfare, hear me now. The place where this man was supposed to find God and prophesy was within the camp of the Philistines. The giant killers. The giant makers. These are guys that produce people like Goliath. These are giants. These are people who serve other gods. So let me tell you, the implication of this is that your giftings will begin to manifest when there's warfare. The anointing that God has put in you will not manifest if there's no need for it. So you have to pray and welcome battles, because you will not know how strong you are until there is pressure. All of a sudden you will know that, so I can see vision, so I can dream. You will be seeing things like this. They will be happening immediately as you are waking up. The Lord will be speaking to your heart, and as the words are coming, you are seeing it like, where did I become a prophet? Listen to me. Whenever you are thrown into the hill of God, just know that you are in the midst of warfare. Some of you are praying, "God, have you turned your back on me?" My sister, you are in the midst of warfare. That means God is also there. One of his names is that he is the Lord of hosts. He is a man of war. God doesn't tell people to go and fight and sit at home. He leads the war himself. He leads the war himself. He leads the war himself. In the book of Revelation, the scripture spoke about Jesus Christ when his vesture was dipped in blood. And he led his army. Jesus led his army. And they said the name of the one leading the army is the word of God. He led his army. He sat on a horse and led his army into battle. If God tells you to rest, it's because he's there. Please let me preach to your neighbor and say, "The Lord is there.
The Lord is there.
The Lord is there.
The Lord is there."
So you must enter into rest. Put up that scripture. Let's round up very quickly. He said, "And it came to pass that when you have come down to Tyre, to the city, that you shall meet a company of prophets." You see, there are places where you find prophets. Prophets are usually assigned to territories where there's warfare. Alright, where there's warfare. That's why a prophet is not a man who just tells you what you ate yesterday. I mean, I could have googled that. I could have asked your friend. I could have asked your neighbor. I mean, I could ask your wife. That's not a sign of a prophet. It's not that a prophet cannot know those things, but that's not why we are here. To tell you what you ate. Really? Really? That's all you can do. A prophet is not necessarily someone who tells you what he is. A prophet is someone who has the ability to say, "Is it not because the Lord has appointed you?" He is able to declare a season upon you. And you will see the season begin to happen, by the hand of God, because a word was spoken. Say you will meet a company of prophets. Put up that scripture. You are coming down from the high place with a psaltery. Now pay attention. You see, when you see people that that are close to God. I'm talking about not just an outpouring, but living in the outpouring. There are things that are specific that they always pay attention to. Number one is that they are mountain climbers. Anytime prophetic people want to see God, they separate themselves. I'm talking about mountains now. They separate themselves from men and they go to a place where they can find God. What that may mean for you is that you may need to turn off your phone for 1 hour. And don't worry, the world won't come to an end. The world won't come to an end. The prophetic people or people who experience outpourings, they are usually people who are mountain dwellers. They climb up the mountains and they seek God. They seek God for His own will, not theirs. They seek God for His own will, not theirs. And as they do that, when they are coming back, look at what they came back with. So they came back with a psaltery and a tablet and a pipe. Look at musical instruments. So these are people of worship. You want to live under the complete umbrella of the presence of God, of the outpouring. This is it. This is it. So you are in the kitchen and you are singing, I will arise. Arise, delight myself in the Lord. And you are washing plates, will give me all my desire. Eru Olorun ba mi. Eru Olorun ba mi o. Ohun to ba ti pinu lokan re. You are in the kitchen, you are in the bathroom, you are washing clothes, but you put yourself in a state where the heavens can be easily triggered. The heavens can be easily touched. They can reach out in 1 second and touch you. Look at the character of this prophet and look at the posture that many people maintain today, and yet they say God is far. He said they will come with a psaltery and a tablet and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. Next verse, quickly. And the spirit of the Lord, oh my God, who was doing the prophecy? The prophets were prophesying, but who did the spirit of God come upon? It came upon Saul. Listen to me. Saul was the only one among them who was not like them. So the anointing they generated found him as a vessel that they could use. Unfortunately, Saul did not know the value. The fact that God put that thing in you once means that if you are faithful, you can continue to do the same thing. Pull up that scripture. He said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall You will prophesy with them. If anybody had recorded the thing that this brother said, it could have been something that was significant to the nation of Israel or to somebody in that place. It would have been a direct word of guidance, exhortation, and comfort for somebody in that place. It would have been a word for somebody. Nobody documented it. But the scripture did tell us that what? He prophesied with them. Do you know what it means to prophesy with them? I was in a meeting, you know, I've been in a few meetings like that anyway. I was in a meeting where, you know, there were pastors who were preaching, but they were all prophets, you know. And when they would minister, they would prophesy. Then while he prophesied, he just gives the mic to Brother Pat. Brother Pat would say yes, and as he was prophesying, he will continue the prophecy. Then when he's done, he will pass the mic to me, and then I will continue. So he prophesied with them. He prophesied with them. There was a corporate anointing, and they were able to swim and cooperate with that anointing. Listen to me. This is one level you must know. If you say you have a prayer partner, one of the things you should look at is that you should be able to pick things together. You should be able to vibrate under the same unction at the same pace. You should be able to see things, and as you are saying, okay, where you stop, the Lord now began to show me this and show me this. It's like a tag team. Those kind of friendships, they don't end. Because before you marry, you will tell your wife, you see Desmond, anytime he comes, if I'm not at home, give him food, give him bread, give him wine. See, just give it to him. This one is not an outsider. He's not an outsider. I've been in meetings like that with my friend Pastor Desmond. Just two of us. And I've experienced this same thing. This same thing. And I've seen this thing happen even with other ministers. Where I went for their meeting, and I saw the same thing, the same atmosphere of the Spirit, and they were able to prophesy with them. Say, two of you shall agree together, so we'll prophesy with them. This guy was not a prophet, but when the hand of God came upon him, it expressed itself in prophecy. If there's an outpouring over you, there will be a sign. 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 So you must wake up this morning. And when we come in for the second service, we are going to change the tone of the service. Amen. We are going to change the tone of the service. Because there are some of you, you are going to prophesy again. Amen. I say some of you here, you will prophesy again. So if you had the gift before, get ready, I will give you the mic. You will prophesy again. That you people are not believing me. I say you prophesy again. Yeah. People don't know what it means to prophesy. What it means to prophesy, it's not really about the message. It's that God found you a vessel. God found for himself a vessel that he can speak to the world through. That is powerful. That is powerful. Listen, let me tell you. Jesus said in John chapter 7, said, if any man test, he said, let him come to me. Don't go to the pastor. Come to me. Come to me. Say, I will fulfill the scriptures in your life. Come to me. Say, for as the scripture has said, out of your spirit, out of your belly, shall flow rivers. Come on, say rivers. Multiple expressions. Not just one expression. Multiple expressions. You will speak in new tongues. You will switch from tongues to tongues. It will bring you the river. You will be restored. You will be empowered. Because out of your belly, the Holy Ghost will bring forth rivers. I said he will bring forth rivers. And if there will be an overflowing. Glory to God. There will be an overflowing. Come on, I said there will be an overflowing. There will be an overflowing. Rise to your feet. Let's pray for 1 minute. There will be an overflowing. There will be an overflowing. For all these things my hands have made. And so all these things have come into being by and for me, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look and I will have regard. He who is humble and of a broken and wounded spirit and trembles at my word and reveres my command. Message. I have made all this. I own all this. God's decree. But there is something I'm looking for. A person simple and plain. Reverently responsive to what I say. This is why the scripture says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. There are people that use the F word and put Jesus beside it. You don't understand who God is. You are dishonoring the presence of the Lord. You are dishonoring the glory of the Lord. You can't mention that name. That is not a name you play with. You don't get overexcited and mention that name. The names, that name that once it is mentioned in the heaven, every activity must stop. Wherever you are in the heavens. In the heavens, they know that name. How come you don't know the name? How come you don't know the honor that goes with that name? When you are excited. Ah, Jesus. Really? Okay, maybe you are in the outer court. You have not gone into the holy place. The scripture said, whether in the heavens or in the earth or beneath the earth, wherever that name is mentioned, every knee shall bow. Who told you Satan doesn't worship that name? He is not exempted. I say he's not exempted. That one you are afraid of is not exempted. Bring that problem. Drag it to his feet at the mention of the name of Jesus. Why do we mention his name and there's no impact? Because there's no reverence. Say, to this man will I look. A man who is humble. Whose heart is soft and tender and broken. Anytime he hears my word, he hears my name. His heart responds in a part. He's not passive. It's another message. Like my friend would say to me. He said, the Reverend Father just gave a small talk. We are not giving small talks here. We are bringing you the counsels of the Lord. Honor must return to our hearts. That's what makes us different, though. That's our question. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a stranger? How?
How? Because there's a way we worship and there's a way we respond, because we know every time we yield to Him, He comes to us. Every time we yield to Him, He comes to us. Many have missed it because they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait long enough. Because God always takes His time. But today, we are here for the outpouring. You see, it's not just rain, it's an outpouring. So that you'll be so soaked. You'll be so wet. By the time you leave here, people will ask you what happened to you. So when Moses came down from the presence of the Lord, they say his face shone. His face began to glow. And he had to protect it. Oh my God. He had to protect the people around him because of the impact of God's glory on his mortality. One man who didn't know Christ. Moses didn't know Christ. But Christ lives in you. And yet so dormant. Come on, say not anymore. Lord, touch our hearts again. Lord, circumcise our hearts again. Lord, we have become cold. We have become accommodating of sin, of lukewarmness. But Spirit of God, if you can just touch our heart again this morning, touch our heart, circumcise, cut through until nothing else is there except you. Cut through. It takes in the glory of God to move from being a persecutor of the saints like Saul to become a Paul. You must have seen something. You must have seen something. And today you are going to see something. Amen. You are going to see something. The Lord is going to reveal something. He's going to break the shackles over your face. It's going to break the shackles. And you will be free completely. You will be free completely. You will be free completely. It's going to break the shackles. And you will be free completely in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is an angel of the Lord standing just beside John's wife, and he has a sword stretched out to this altar. And I was just asking, why are you here? He said there are people here with attachments around them, and he was sent to remove those things with the sword. Said he was sent standing over there, just one angel standing over there, and he said he was sent. Seeing people wearing things that are, you know, when something has glued to your body and it's just there. Said, I've been sent by the word the Lord to cut these things off their body so that they can be free again to move. Because you can't climb the mountain the way you are. You are heavy. And the word of the Lord is going to come to you as a sign that the Lord has remembered you. That amen is weak. All eyes closed. Lord, we ask in this solemn moment that you will release your angels to go round and begin to take off every shackles, every yoke, everything that has kept your people bound. Lord, confirm your word. Begin to take them off. Whatever baggage they are, it could be baggages of guilt. Whatever it is, it could be a kapatosophel lasa. It could be pain that has been locking in their hearts for years. Lord, touch it now. Let it go. Touch it now. It could be sickness and infirmity. Lord, touch it now. Let it go. Touch it. Touch it. Let it go. 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 The Lord is moving around this auditorium now, and I need you to be sensitive. If you don't have to move around, don't move. It's moving. It's moving. Now, there is somebody here. The Lord says He wants to empower you for the... Rise on your feet, everyone. He wants to empower you for what is ahead of you. Please raise your hands to the heavens. I don't know who that person is, but I want to pray. Father, there is someone you have prepared for this time. Lord, find that person. Lord, touch that person. Lord, let your power flow into that person. Right now, 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 in the name of Jesus, right now. One, one, I have one, two, 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 three, palikatuza, fire, four, palikatuza, in the name of Jesus, power from above, likaduru setalia, in the name of Jesus. I see have three people here. Come on, where are you? Lekadayaz, Zuparitara, receive the power of the Holy Ghost. 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 Drink of this river. Let the power of God locate you. Let the power of God locate you now. Alimarute Zataya. Let the power of God locate you now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. Let it spread like fire. Let it spread like fire. Mandele Ketelia. Wherever you are, under the sound of this voice, let the Holy Ghost touch you. Let the Holy Ghost touch you. Let the Holy Ghost touch you. Andele Borusetaya. Ale Marandele Borusetaya. You will be drunk of the wine of the Lord, and you will receive empowerment in the name of Jesus. You will receive empowerment in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. No one will be able to reject you again, because the anointing you are receiving today will remove rejection from your life. Rabali kandu sotaya. Rabali kandu sotaya. No more rejection. No more rejection. No more rejection. No more rejection. Every spirit of rejection be destroyed now. In the name of Jesus. You are set free. Lord is still moving around. The Lord is still moving around. Open your heart and receive Him. The Lord is still moving around. The Lord is still moving around. Lekataya, Rebasa. There are three angels over there now. Now, Lekara, power! You are empowered for the next phase. You are empowered for the next phase. The things you are looking for, the power of God will bring them to you. I said the power of God will bring them to you. I said the power of God will bring them to you. The power of God is still flowing. It's still flowing. Take it! Take it! Take it! It's yours in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's someone the Lord is speaking to me about. You have been experiencing some numbness in your hands. You've been experiencing some numbness in your hands. It comes and goes. Now, I want you to raise your hand wherever you are, if you are that person, and just point to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release you from that numbness. In the name of Jesus, if you are raising that hand, raise it well. If you experience that numbness, now in the name of Jesus, you are delivered. The word of the Lord is in your direction. The word of the Lord is in your direction. That spirit causing that numbness is gone. From today, you take control of your hands again. In the name of Jesus, every vibration, every unnecessary shaking, in the name of Jesus, it stops now. Two people just received the gift of prophecy right now. Two people, just two people. Legabaraka salabando losata. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, receive utterance. Receive utterance. Receive utterance. Hallelujah. When there was an outpouring, only 120 people benefited. But there were people downstairs. They didn't know what was going on. Don't be distracted. Jesus is standing beside you. And he is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You are going to leave this place revived. 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 Don't pass us by, O Lord. Touch every one of us. Bring us into new seasons. Bring us into God encounters again. We are tired of the usual. We are tired and we are sick of being tired, but we want you. We want the outpouring. We want the outpouring. Like they got it on the day of Pentecost. We want cloven tongues of fire. We want it to sit upon our heads. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to release you now. But I want to... For this relationship to work, I want to... I want to share with you again things you already know, but they are very significant. Number one, you must remember and understand that the Holy Spirit is a very jealous person. He cannot share space. The Holy Spirit knows when you are playing, and he knows when you are serious. He knows when you love something more than him. He knows when you prioritize him and when you only come to him when you have problems. If you want this outpouring to make you rise above the challenges of this earth, you must understand the jealousy of God and you must align properly. God cannot share space. That is the first thing I want to share with you. Number two is the spirit of truth. You cannot work with him if you only accommodate the truth. Or you accommodate the truth that you like. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. He has been mandated by the Trinity, by the divine council, to establish truth in the life of believers and in the life of every Christian. You cannot work with him at this level if you are economical with the truth. I was watching a program yesterday night about, it was a podcast on YouTube, and they had about two gay pastors were on the podcast. Two gay pastors, like they have congregations and they are homosexual pastors. Then we have three people, the host of the show and a brother who used to be gay. The guy is just 24 years. But the guy said God delivered him and now he's married. He's 24. He got married and now has a daughter. The young guy. So the guy started, you know, sharing his testimony about how in 2020, during the COVID and 2021, he dresses like a woman. You know, he dressed like a woman and wears all those things you wear and goes to the shopping mall. And everybody tries to be respectful. Let me tell you, that is a line you must draw. We cannot be respectful to sin. We cannot be respectful towards sin because you are the next target. We cannot be respectful towards sin. In the name of being respectful to people's differences, you begin to accommodate what you should not accommodate. The brother said he started, you know, dressing that way until someone shared the gospel with him. And even though he was from a Christian home, he said this particular young person had a particular aura around him. This was just somebody by the road, you know. And just, he said before he knew it, he was repenting, he was confessing. He said, and God took away his feelings for men and stopped watching pornography and all of that. But most times when people talk about pornography, what you need is an encounter. You need an encounter with God. You can't just stop it because your flesh loves it. Alright? Your flesh loves pornography. You can't stop it. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to cause a shift. Come on, say a shift. It causes a shift in your belly and then you lose your taste. You see, pornography is a taste you develop. And once you develop it, you must undevelop it to lose it. So when they asked the gay pastor to comment, the two of them, one of them said, you know, we need to understand that God is a God of love. From the way you're speaking, you're painting God as a judgmental person. The scripture says God is love, in him is light and life. Do you know, this person, this pastor is like someone in his late 40s. The two of them. This boy is just 24. Man of God, do you know what the boy did? He said, I'm sorry, sir. This black America, he was, you see, do you see young American boys who use sir for people? The Holy Spirit has touched the boy. Once he sees that, I was observing him. He was referring to people, everybody there as sir. If, when I tell you that some people don't have the Holy Spirit, people will shout. The Holy Spirit does not teach you to be disrespectful. And if you used to be respectful, you will not take it to the next level. The brother said, sir, can I speak to you for a moment? With the way you are speaking, you will go to hell. I said, wow! Come on, preach, brother. He said, you will go to hell. The cancers from your mouth are dark cancers. I said, what? He said, I need to tell you this. Jesus loves you. You must repent. In America. Hey! When you watch all these TV shows and podcasts, everybody's trying to be respectful. The boy said, look, the boy started quoting scriptures. He said, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. He said, those who name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. He started quoting scriptures. The two gay pastors were stunned. He said, if you do not repent, you will perish. He said, I said, my God, I need an encounter. I need an encounter. Not the kind of encounter that will make me lose my voice when I'm in the midst of people. I said, what? A young black American brother speaking like that. I thought the guy was Nigerian. With that accent. Says, sir, God, be honest with you. If you die this way, you will not make it. Started quoting scriptures. You want to quote the scriptures you like. Let me tell you the other scriptures you've not talked about. Started quoting scriptures. Said, that shall honor the Lord, that God, and him shall you serve. He started quoting scriptures. When he stopped, everywhere was quiet. The owner of the show could not say anything. You could feel the fear of God. You could feel the fear of God. I said, my God. I knew in the realm of the spirit that this was a golden opportunity on a live meeting on YouTube for God to rebuke two pastors so that they can be saved. The Holy Spirit is the harbinger of truth. He has no respect for your personal opinion. He has no respect. That opinion is your own. But this is what the heavens have said. If you want to be close to him, you must be a lover of the truth. Not economical with the truth. Not that you pick the part or the aspect that you like. If you are struggling, Say you are struggling, but don't say it is not a sin. There's a difference between struggling with something and accommodating that thing and trying to encourage yourself that God will not be loved on that matter. Number three, you must understand that the Holy Spirit is compassionate. He communicates the Father's love to our heart. Every time you feel that God has abandoned you, He will arrange a series of experiences. He could just send somebody, He could lead you somewhere, somebody, just one random person somewhere just gets up and begins to speak about love, and you feel loved again. You feel like God has not abandoned you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is one of His mandates to reassure you that God still loves you. Number four, the Holy Spirit is holy. I hope you know the Holy Spirit is not His name. The Holy Spirit is a character. He's trying to depict something about God. Holy Spirit. So it's a spirit, but the character of that spirit is what? Holiness. Holiness. So, but for whatever it is, Holy Spirit, let's assume that is His name. But His name is the Father, Yahweh. So He's holy. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be separated. To be in a level completely by Himself. He doesn't need you. You need Him. He is righteous. He is worthy. He is most excellent. To be holy means that there is no other definition for what purity can look like outside what the Holy Spirit communicates to you about Jesus. So when you are close to Him, one of the things He will be communicating to you at every point in time, even when you are not reading the Bible, you will notice that the areas that He is usually grieved about are in the areas of sin and impurity. You will notice it. So the day He no longer talks about that, He has left. And the problem with the Holy Spirit is that many times He lives quietly. The Bible says Samson did not know that the Spirit of God has left him. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, it was public. Everybody saw it. He fell under the anointing. Be careful. He is holy. If you want to relate with Him, go and put your house in order. When I speak of your house, I'm speaking about the state of heart. Go and clean up your heart. There are some of you are here. You know that anything from 10 p.m., there's no ungodly thought that will not come into your mind. So you can help yourself. From 10 p.m., don't chat with any lady if you're a brother. Chatting is sweetest in the night, I know. Okay. You can see that people did not respond. The Holy Spirit has cleansed everybody. Everybody is clean now. That's why they didn't respond. They are clean. Say you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. Yes. Come on, say I'm clean. So keep it that way. If Chioma says, I just got back from work, can we chat? Tell her no. Tell her the Holy Spirit said I should not be chatting from 10. If the person insists, then you know the person is possessed. Say amen. Try it. You will be free from many problems. Because people have been stressed in the day. They need someone to share their emotional baggage with. If you want to share the emotional baggage, go and marry. But I can assure you, even when you marry, that thing that made you marry, you may not see it too. Because your husband will be tired, he needs to sleep. So, just pray that God gives you a good job. You can work remote. So you sleep in the afternoon. No, don't do it the way we did it. 7 days a week at VI. Just maintain, be doing remote, cook lunch, pick your children from school. A pastor friend said to me, he said, man of God, do you know God just blessed my wife with a job? I said, yes. I said, it's a remote job. And they live in Jos. He said, $3,500 every month. Even my auntie to say, do they need someone else? Brapat, this is the key of the church. Be preaching. I want to go somewhere. I'm coming. Let me go and collect job of 3-5. I took my calculator. I punched in the. I said, My God. Later, I saw the brother. He started complaining. I said, what's the problem? Say, my wife, I want her to start going to the gym. I don't like the way she's looking. I say, what's the problem? Say, she has added weight. She doesn't have, I can't see. This place is very big. And it was point. I said, what's the problem with that one? He said, no. Say, she's too comfortable now. She needs to start going to the gym. I said, when she was walking in that other place, you were shouting. Now God has blessed her in every way. You are, what do you want? I said, take her like that too. And what's the difference? Here she has peace of mind. She's working for white men. If she says she has headache, they'll tell her to go and rest. In my own office, if you have headache, they'll give you pastor more. Continue the work. Don't worry, you're a man. You continue the work. You work till you die. My female colleague who was pregnant then couldn't come to work. And she sent a text to my boss and said, I had to rush to the hospital. I'm having migraine. My regional manager is a woman. My boss is a man. So my boss called the regional manager to notify her that, our customer service officer is not on ground. Say, why? Say, she has migraine and she's pregnant. My boss understood. But my lady regional manager said, called my boss's name with his first name. Say, Frank, are you a fool? What did I do, madam? Said, do you know you are talking to a woman? Say, what does that mean, man? Say, you are calling me to tell me that your staff didn't come to work because she has migraine and she's pregnant. Say, do you know how many children I have? Did I get to this level by taking excuse? That's the day I knew people were wicked. I didn't know before. But that day, I said, it will not be good for you to come and die for these people. If you die, they will move on. Fast. The day someone died in my office, we said, let's do mini silence. Nobody closed their eyes. This is how they were looking. 10 seconds, we are true. And the man said 1 minute. With 10 seconds, say, may so rest in peace. That's it. The guy, whether he's in heaven or hell, now nobody knows, but we have wished him safe passage. Bye bye, so we can move on. Immediately they brought somebody before we finish the meeting from the head office to replace that person. There are things that contend for the holiness of God now. For us, the ability to live a separated life. And many times these things are legitimate. You have to be careful. The scripture says your father knows that you need all these things. Worrying about it is a sign that you don't trust God. So as God is holy, we need to be holy. To be holy for us means that we also have to be separated. We have to separate ourselves, both emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Don't live here and go to Chike's house. Don't live here and go to Amanda's house or Ami's house. Hami, go home. Go and cook and sleep. Rest is good for you. Don't say, I've been empowered. I can overcome any sin. Even me, I can't make that statement. Even Jesus, as faithful as Mary Magdalene was, he did not appoint her as one of the 12 disciples. Peter ran away. John ran away. Mary Magdalene was waiting for him to resurrect. Yeah, Jesus did not say, hey, my darling Magdalene, you are so faithful. What can I do for you? You are Lema Kataba. From today, you are the head of the apostles. She was head usher. Or choir leader. So who are you now? Are you the deputy Jesus? Be separated in your mind. Don't play games. Satan will play a fast one on you. Be separated. Please tell your neighbor, be separated. Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. That's what God says. Some people are not sinning. But if God opens their mind for 5 minutes and you look inside, even Satan can't stay there. He's so dead. Number four, the Holy Spirit is sensitive. And this is the one that really bothers me. The scripture says to us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, do not despise prophecies and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing that when Paul was speaking, he was talking about grieving the Holy Spirit in relation to prophecy. Because there are people who despise, like that person I was talking about, I said, I warned. Now the person is in trouble now. Trouble, big trouble. Floating, nowhere to stay. The family of the sister, they called me and they asked me, please, do you know where she is? I said, I don't know where she is anymore. They said, we have been in mourning in the last 4 months. As though someone died in this house because of the decision this girl has made. If you love a man to the point where you do not get your family's blessing, you think that we are British people. Even God is not a British man. God does not claim America. He came through Israel, where they have culture, respect for culture. Sure, I showed you the way Jesus dressed few Sundays ago. His gown. That's the way he still, even when he went to heaven, that's how he's still dressing. Top to down. He did not change. How can you listen to one pastor on YouTube? All of a sudden, brothers cannot look at the altar when you are on the altar again. They have to be looking down without sinning against God. The sin that they escaped on the street, they found it. They say, abba, abba, abba. The brothers are doing like this, doing like this. Because if they look at you, they will be lost. My son only. And brothers, protect your heart. It's not only women that are moved by words. Men are also moved by words. They will not tell you, I'm here to open their file and tell you now that men are moved by words. I went to a bank, I will not mention which one, recently, and all my problems come from the bank. All. I checked it. So now I'm going to get a PA that will be going to the bank. I walked into the bank, I needed to do something, and the manager looked at me and said, ah, you're so fine. Say, come and sit down, let me attend to you. The manager, say, you're so fine. I said, excuse me. The thing actually, I felt it in my mind. Like when she said it, it's like I've never heard it before. I felt something move. You know, when I sat on the chair, I fell down. I don't know this person from anywhere. She was the thing, you know, and I removed it. The attack can come when you are not expecting. Say, I'm looking at your details. At your age, and you look this way. See, think be this one. Immediately I looked at her. I said, are you from Abia State? She said, yes. Are you? The prophetic gift started working. I said, this gift will not help me. It's better I run. In the same way, this speech is very sensitive. You may not know. That's why it's quiet. Because he has been warning you since, and you are not listening. You will hear him now. When you go back and see your friends, you go and commit sin. He's very sensitive. The words you say around, you throw around, he may not like it. He may not like it. And this may even be particular to you and not another person. Go home. Ask the Holy Spirit. The way I go about, the way I talk, does it please you? Forget about this madman talking to you now. Just ask him, Lord, give me a sign. You know, those are the areas God will answer very quickly. The way I talk, does he offend you? The way I sleep, does he offend you? Because some people sleep like God has forgotten them. The way they sleep is the sleep of a spiritually dead man. Someone abandoned by spirits. But you know, God may not talk because he respects your privacy. You have asked him to respect you and he has done that. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is sensitive to the way we worship him? He looks at everything. He knows the way you vibe to secular music now. Or you think he doesn't? You think when you are doing those, he will close his eyes? He's looking at you. He knows that you like that song. He knows. Actually, you downloaded it and then you deleted it. But he knows that your heart is there. He's sensitive. Because it's not about the song. It is just about that there is something here that is contending with this brother with me. And that thing is so strong. Do you know how spirits are created? Words, thoughts, emotions. Remember, how spirits are created. Words, thoughts, and emotion. How many of you have ever gone to the stadium to watch a live match, like African Cup of Nations, or maybe who else? You've been to the stadium, not the one you are watching on TV. Let me put this. How many of you have been to the club before? I know God has forgiven you, but wave your hands. God has forgotten, but you will still remember. You've been to a serious club, bro. I can see some hands. Now, sometimes, if you agree with me, those of you that have not gone, just try and learn from them. Now, I didn't say you should go there. I said learn what I want to say now, though. Because some of you will say, I didn't say go there. Do you agree with me that sometimes you are going there with your friends? You are just talking, there's nothing happening. You are calm. By the time you get into the club, you know they have all kinds of colored lights. Those lights are there deliberately to regulate your emotions. Then you just get there. I wish you're jiggy to the right now, jiggy to the... You may not know that song, don't worry, but it's a song that we used to sing in those days. Now, whatever it is they sing now, I will not honor them by mentioning them here. But you just know that the songs move progressively. As you hit 12 midnight, the songs are getting more powerful and more charged. And more... if it will get to a point, it would... In fact, those would have left you there. Because his eyes cannot behold iniquity. There are things you'll be seeing there. You can suddenly begin to feel like sinning. Huh? Please, for those of us that anyone can testify here from this area, you get there all of a sudden, you feel that the atmosphere is charged. You feel like tasting alcohol. You feel like dancing. And not Christian dance, oh. All of you are quiet. Those of you that raise your hand, why are you not saying anything? Can you agree with this point at least? Don't worry, you are forgiven. God has forgotten you, but you need to remember. The atmosphere is charged. Why? Because of the structure of that environment. That spirit may not really be there, but because we have built a system around that place, that now has created a vacuum that must be filled. So you now find seductive spirits, you now find lustful spirits, the desire for careless living. You begin to find everything that you thought was not there begin to rise. In fact, if you are like someone I know, one of your friends will be smoking, one puff and you return it. Why is everybody quiet? Those of you that said you went, okay, let me give you mic. You come and tell us what you did. Now, how many of you, I won't ask you what you did, left that club ashamed of yourself because of how you behaved? Okay, I have one hand there. Is she the only sincere person? Now, maybe what you went to was a house party. If you went to a real club, they will regulate your emotions. Do you know that many people have encountered miracles just because they went to a statue that they believed belonged to Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they prayed there and they got a miracle? Mary is not that statue. Mary never told us, pray to me or pray through me. But because people have assigned a kind of value to that particular place, the same way some people now are going to the graveyard of Ayo Babalola and they are kneeling there and trying to pray, communicating with the dead. So spirits have now been assigned to that place, and you will think it is God. The same way they will tell some people, on the 10th year of your father's anniversary, death anniversary, all of you will go to the village. You want to go and pray at your father. Then say, somebody say, Father in Jesus. Which Jesus? The man is dead. Is it the prayer? Is it to resurrect him or what? Why can't we do this at home? Why are you congregating around the dead? There are things we do that offend God. Cultural practices. Because we mention Jesus and added, it doesn't mean God is pleased. Say, so our Father, even though he's no more with us, he's still here. We can still feel his presence. He's still guiding us. Then your mother will mention, Adewale, there's a way they say it in Yoruba. Don't sleep, oh. Mama, I don't know how they do it in your place. In our own place, they'll be talking to the master. He say, don't sleep, oh. Continue watching over us. Your son is now a big man. This is AGK. This is Chukuma. Chukuma is now an engineer. So the man doesn't know, but we have to update him and tell him that Chukuma is now an engineer. And you fail to understand that there are spirits there. There was a king that went to a witch to summon the spirit of Samuel. A familiar spirit came and behaved like Samuel. And God killed the king. The punishment is death. To communicate with the dead or attempt to contact the dead. What does the living have to do with it? There are things the Holy Spirit is sensitive about. You may not know. Your culture may permit it, but God is against it. Abi, they told some of us in our office that we should come and do yoga. Abi, on Sunday. Hey! People are becoming bold. In this Lagos, in this Nigeria, all of you must come for health, wellness, what do you call that in, is it CSI? What do you call those things? Wellness initiative. Everybody will need to come and work out. Then you say, we'll do yoga. And you chose Sunday morning. And those who didn't come got query. Me, I should come and do yoga. The thing I have been anointed to destroy. I should come and join you to do yoga on Sunday. You didn't see Saturday. People are becoming bold. Say, Pastor, you know, I'm a team lead. I just have to be there just to show so. Sorry, who is this man? Says the prayer leader. Please remove him. Remove him. He has not learnt the basics of the faith. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive. And I'm saying this, you need to be sensitive and check. Because when the Holy Spirit is annoyed, out of mercy, he will walk away, he will not talk. But the day you now have a major need, you pray, he will not answer. Number what? Number six. The Holy Spirit leads us by guiding us. He will never lead us into any activity that is not in agreement with God's word. Never. Have you ever wondered that the devil has never told you to give somebody 1,000 naira before? Oh, no. You are not thinking it. Now, when you are in a huba with that pretty girl in your office, and the drive is over, and the driver says to his 7-5, say, okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. I'll take care of it. You feel empowered that you are about to impress this girl. Because the girl was complaining, I feel so stressed, I don't want to take a bus. I don't know, that's fine. You start pointing your finger. You go enter bus. As you are looking at me, I have no shame. You go enter bus. That may be God's will delivering me, my own soul. Because the moment I am in that car with you, I say, tell me, what are your passions? I don't care about your passions. Let's enter bus. Everybody, man, 5-5, sit down. No change, don't enter. Change. 7-5, call 7-5 me. Don't put yourself in a place where the devil will attack you under a seat. He will never lead you into any situation that is not in alignment to his word. And what I mean by that is, before you take that step, even if it seems harmless, he will start checking you. You know, I said guidance. I didn't say voice hearing. I said guidance. Your heart will begin to respond in a particular, you just know there's something wrong. Though most of you didn't listen to the, but it's okay. You are you know, today now we have, everybody is clean. So, if I tell you now that in this church, don't enter over with a lady again, you will take me to internet and finish me. What I'm telling you is that the Holy Spirit will not guide you into any activity. Any activity. You know, I generalize it now. Any activity. This area is very quiet, unusually. I don't know what is going on here. But I believe you are agreeing with this message. Number 7. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit empowers us. It gives us corresponding spiritual gifts, divine enablement. Empowerment also has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. The ability to walk in love, to have self-control. Alright, especially when somebody is provoking you, you feel triggered, and the Holy Spirit gives you the grace to be quiet. You know, there's a grace to be quiet. The scripture says to study to be quiet. There's a grace for quietness. Sometimes you can be so provoked, you just want to overreact. But when you allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He will teach you to be quiet. Because that's how they are in heaven. When I was college, I said, let the old earth be silent before Him. My reverend father, they say it doesn't want noise. Now, heaven is not noisy. Abina. He empowers us over snakes, gives us power over snakes and scorpions, over demonic activity. By empowering us, He removes the fear of those things. We are no longer afraid of them. Do you know that many of us who have been praying and say, God, cleanse my bloodline, deliver me from bloodline foundation, the thing has refused to go because we fix our eyes more on the bloodline problem than on Jesus. Do you know one day I just got up and I said, from today, I will ignore every problem in my life. I want to try it for 3 months. Do you know I just realized the problems were solving themselves? I'm telling you, you should try it. Except God now says, don't sleep on this one. Sleep. I started developing my faith by refusing to pray when I have some dreams. When I see dragons, let's just go. If I manage open one eye, I will not pray. I was learning dominion by spiritual stubbornness. If you come to me, in case you are here, and you come to me with pounded yam and egusi, well, the chances are that I will not eat. But if I feel like eating, ajegbe nyo. There's something Yoruba people call ajegbe. I don't know how to explain that one now, but it means once when I chop, I don't chop and be that nothing will happen. Now, if you know you're a perpetual eater, you eat for a living. In your dream, you eat for a living. Before you close your eye, they have brought the food. don't claim this thing I'm claiming. Come for prayers. You need deliverance. Don't go and say, if I eat it, okay. One day you wake up, you see yourself on the express here, you from, and you live in Ikoju, they'll come and drop your body here. So that you will know that man shall not live by bread alone. Number 9, I believe. The Holy Spirit confirms His presence by continually speaking to us. There is no way you can claim you have the Holy Spirit in your life without Him always laying His thoughts in your mind. And one of those thoughts will not necessarily have to do with prophecy or all those nice things you like to hear. Sometimes there could be things that He doesn't like that you are doing. You tell you, go and apologize to Chiamaka. Yes. And the moment you start arguing, you will keep quiet. The Holy Spirit likes apology. You say, go and apologize. Sometimes you dress away, it will tell you that the next in your life, don't dress. This is an abomination. Yeah, you look at what's wrong with it. Because you are a Gen Z. The one you are calling Jesus, Jesus is top to bottom. Even our former president said top to bottom. Our former president, he said top to bottom, top to bottom. Prophetic. Now you can't even know a Christian by dressing, you know. It's like Christians are even competing with the world in order to be ungodly. Well, today now you have met the Holy Spirit. Some of you, the Holy Spirit is already in your house waiting for you. They have arranged all your clothes for you. So that when you come, the ones you will throw away, they will tell you this one. Then you will go to the market and buy proper clothes. Bespoke, the one, because you need to go to work tomorrow. So, whenever the Holy Spirit stops talking to you or laying the word of God in your heart, it is not a good sign. It's not a sign that God is happy with you. You should be concerned, especially if it becomes a prolonged activity. The Holy Spirit is not someone that will be in your life and not talk to you. And I notice that anytime we are not hearing Him often, we become exposed to the possibility of a sinful life. Because now you've not been praying. God is not even talking. Have you had that experience before? Like, you just wait for a while, you are not praying, and nothing is happening, nobody is talking. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's a bad place to be. That means very soon you will get to a junction, they will just come and carry you that. Okay, you are not part of us. Don't go to that church again. How many churches do you know that you go, the pastor will tell you that you should develop your prayer life? We are falling. We don't know. Atishubu. We are falling. There's nothing wrong with doing talking business in church. The primary activity of the church is your soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? At the end of the day, you die. You left the money in your account. And they are now saying, "Hello, Lord, tarara, hello, Lord." But this money was here. It didn't serve the purpose of God. They are now dancing. If you throw my body, I will come out. Don't try to. I will write the Ten Commandments the day I die. This is that nobody should throw my body in the air, because that body has served God. Don't try it. No respect, no value. You don't respect anything. You don't respect your parents. You don't respect. Carry my body and throw up. Then thunder strike you. You know, I sometimes imagine that God must have a good time laughing sometimes. He just looks at us, especially in Nigeria, just... Say, these guys, I don't know how I created them. They are just different. No dull moment. When you think you've seen it all, a Nigerian will just get up, or somebody from Equatorial Guinea will just get up, somebody somewhere will just get up and begin to do something. Somebody here, they say something happened. You now went on Telegram. Let me go and check. You, Sheboni Bagbolope. Shebi, you call yourself a Christian. What are you looking for on Telegram? They say something happened. Say it's on Telegram. You're not going. Hey, what should I search for? What should I search? You, Are you that spiritually without fire? Look, let me tell you something. I'll just close here because today is a good day. Tell you people see that I'm trying now. I'm trying now. We are going to leave this place in 10 minutes. Before, like now, Joy Spirit is just on his way now. By 12, he will land. Then we'll prophesy to one. But today now, see, isn't God a good God? You can call that your friend and say, I will see you in 30 minutes. The man will soon finish. Now, open Isaiah 32. I don't know where we should start from now. Start from 14 and maybe 15. Isaiah 32. Now, what I'm about to show you is the key to all-round fruitfulness. Say amen. The key to all-round fruitfulness. Isaiah 32. Let's try 14 and 15. Okay, go to verse 12. Let's start from 12.